Hey, friends, thanks so much for joining us on the Grace Hour. It's a daily program that takes themes that really help the daily believer to enter into God's mind in practical ways. My name is Pastor Jason Moore. I'm here in the studio with Pastor Ronaldo Brown. And we have a great topic today and this week. Very excited to unpack it with you and our guests. And we're going to be talking today from a Christian perspective. What does it mean to be hurt? And when you hear that, maybe your antennas go up and all of a sudden it's like, wow, how is this going to be? Well, today we really want to unpack from a godly perspective that really we all get hurt. We do. And we even get hurt. Right, Pastor Ronaldo, shaving sometimes, right?
I think sometimes we have to be careful that the world doesn't define our vocabulary. Hurt is a part of the human condition. Let me say it this way. Suffering seems to be more acceptable in our vocabulary as Christians than the word hurt. It's kind of like a badge of honor in the church to say that I've suffered. You know, in your life, oh, I'm suffering. Suffering seems to have more of a romantic or a more regal word to it. Because suffering is an easier word. It's a spiritual word. We find suffering in the Bible. We find suffering in our Christian walk. We find suffering even in the church. Oh, I'm in the church. Go look, pray for sister so-and-so. She's suffering. There's this big, it's okay to suffer in the church. But it seems to be not okay to be hurt. There's a groundswell of thinking in society that you shouldn't be hurt. You shouldn't be hurt on your job. You shouldn't be hurt in your marriage. You shouldn't be hurt with your kids. You shouldn't be hurt in the church. And that the church is no place for hurt, but it's a place for suffering. And actually, people don't leave churches because they suffer. People leave churches because they're hurt. So what does it mean to be hurt? Speaking from a Christian perspective, people get hurt all the time. What does it mean? And we'll talk about that today, but it's interesting, Pastor, with this word hurt. And I think the world has framed the word hurt, and they've attached words to it like victimized. They've attached words to it like fairness, but hurt. And hurt is, I would say hurt is a dangerous word because hurt is really about a response more than it is than an initiation. What does it mean to be hurt? I think I have to have God's mind for that. Mm-hmm. Whatever I experience, I have to have God's mind for it. And then I have to have God's vocabulary for it. Like, it's interesting in the Word of God that very seldom does God mention the word hurt, but he does mention the word suffering. Suffering is mentioned often as part of our Christian existence and our condition. And we learn how to suffer well, actually. We learn how to suffer well. Mm-hmm. Pastor Jason, what do you think as far as what does it mean to be hurt? Because oftentimes when you talk to a person in the church, the first thing they vomit or they talk about is, I'm hurt.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, three things in our previous conversation, just thinking, and we want to have our listening audience join us today by phone and by Facebook, 1-800-338-7060, as well as questions at gracehour.org. So we want you to join the conversation. But really, I think this is a word, like you said, it's been redefined.
Yes.
Because, you know, thinking today in our broadcast, you know, bringing up the difference between being suffering and being hurt.
Okay.
Maybe secondly, types of hurt. And what does it look like when I am hurt? So I love this thought, like offense is maybe, like you just said, what happens to me. It's an event. Maybe it's something that's different from my opinion, but being hurt is my response or the way I react to that.
Let's slow that down right there, Pastor. Okay, an offense. Matthew 18, Jesus said offenses will come, verses 3 and 4. Offenses will come. In other words, he's not saying that it's avoidable. He says offenses will come. In other words, circumstances will happen. Situations will happen that will impact me in an adverse way. I won't even say a negative way, but an adverse way. That's an offense. And it will come not just vertically with God. Sin is an offense to God, but it can be horizontal. Hence the conversation about your brother offending you and those kind of things. And it also says in James 3, 2 and 3, that in everything you do, you have the potential to offend someone. So the offense is the activity. It is the occurrence. It is the circumstance. But then there's the hurt. Hmm. What is the hurt?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's our processing of the event.
Okay.
It's maybe misguided expectations that lead to disappointment.
Mm.
Maybe we feel, or we could feel, undervalued. Maybe there is these ideas that we wanted more, or that person shouldn't have done something, or there's this assessment, this perceived offense that that leads to maybe more of an unresolved or undefined emotion, right?
Huh.
So let's say something happens,
right,
and we process that not objectively but subjectively, and all of a sudden we're at the center, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, we are undervalued or underappreciated, or however the person may process that.
Let me get back a little bit. So you're saying the offense is what happened, and the hurt is my response.
Correct, yeah.
Now, it may be valid, but I want to suggest this morning that every hurt is not valid in the sense of an actual hurt. And here's how I see it, Pastor. Offense, what happened, perception is reality. I may see a situation a certain way, but that's not the way it was. So if I can to stretch that out a little bit, I can be offended and not get hurt. Like, and we're speaking about Christians in the place where we are. It's interesting, as Christians, I am the most sensitive to offenses in the church. I am the most sensitive to hurt in the church. There's things that can happen in my house that I can shake off, or my job I can shake off. But in the house of God, or in the church, in the family of God, when those things happen, I'm torn. I'm broken down. So, okay, something has happened in the church. Okay, and it happens, my question would be this, it happens, and maybe I'm not hurt. There's an offense that happens, an adverse situation, and maybe I'm not hurt, right? So to put it together, I'm offended, but I'm not hurt. And this, you can brush some things off. I mean, a lot that happens in the church a lot of times. Things happen, oh, such and such this, and it could be small and it could be big, but I'm able to just continue on. I move past it. My response is why I wasn't hurt. And then the other way works, Pastor Jason, is that maybe there is no offense, but I'm hurt. Maybe there's a perceived offense. I'll give you an example of that. I know of two people in the church. Both of them perceived at the same time the other one wasn't talking to them. So they both got very hurt by the other person. They didn't speak for 6 months. Then they, through a third party, happened to meet together. And then one of them just kind of said something to the other one. They both realized, oh, there was never any offense. We were hurt and there was no offense. But because there was a perceived offense, there was a real hurt.
Mm.
There was nothing underneath of it. So to put it together, I can be offended and not hurt, and I can be hurt but not offended. And I kind of feel like a lot of times in the life of God, in the church of God, more often than not, we are hurt but not offended. The circumstances of the activity, and one of the good litmus tests for that, I think, is that in 3 or 4 or 5 sentences, explain how you've been offended. Because oftentimes, packed inside of our hurt is a lot of emotion.
Yes, yes.
And packed, and underneath that emotion, the offense is the principle. And sometimes you got to dig through all of the passion and all the emotion to get to the principle. Say, okay, well, what happened? Well, and if I struggle to explain the offense, then I'm really not hurt.
Hmm.
You can't be hurt with no offense. But I find with a lot of times, even with my own self, in my own life, okay, Ronaldo, you're hurt. Okay, let's find the offense. Let's find the principle for the passion. But many times we're a lot of smoke and there's no fire.
Right.
The person talks for 2 hours and they did this and they did that. And okay, explain specific, what happened? Well, I don't know. I just don't feel right. when you start getting those nebulous answers, like, all of a sudden, what you've done is you pull back the hurt and you found out, you pulled the Band-Aid and there's no cut.
Hmm.
Right? There's no cut. So to be hurt is not the same as being offended. Offense speaks about what happens. Christ said offenses will come, and they will come. Hmm. That's part of our Christian life. There's going to be warfare. And in Ephesians 6:12, we fight not against flesh and blood. There is a warfare against the Christian. There's a three-war front. There is the flesh, there is the world, then there is the devil. And all of that is constantly offending us. And yeah. If we walk with God, there's going to be an offense, right? But I would say this too, Pastor. I would say hurt is my response. And it could be a legitimate hurt. I'm not taking away the validity of hurt. But I'm qualifying it. The Christian qualifies their emotion. And that's important. I don't just get angry, but there's a principle behind why I'm angry. I'm not careless with my emotions. My emotions are directed by a spirit-filled mind. So, okay, I'm hurt. I want to qualify the hurt, say, what happened? Now, I might not get a why, but I can target a what. I might not have why God allowed this to happen, but I can get a specific what happened. Okay. Cody Walker's punched me. That's actually a hurt. Okay, my face hurts. Why? Cody Walker punched me. There is the offense. Okay, then I can discern and decide how to process that.
Mm.
But if I'm just walking around my face, there's a why. I don't know. I got to get to the principle. And I think Christians, sometimes when it comes to our emotions, when our emotions run wild, we can be hurt with passion. Without principle.
I think that's really important what you just said. Like, again, processing just our thought life, our belief systems. I mean, you used a key word, I think, oversensitive. I think without a cross, we are oversensitive. Mm-hmm. I think without a cross, we will be hurt. And I love what you said again, and I think it's important. Like, we can be offended and not hurt. So we do self-adjustments. We do grace adjustments. We do self-correction. And I think we must, again, have an idea of, okay, Lord, we're looking at you first, not my plan or my goal or my thought of how things should have been.
Hmm.
But again, it's we have to move from perception to reality, to facts, to concrete things. Because I think what can happen is undefined conflict or unresolved conflict happens, right?
Yeah.
Someone, let's say someone gets offended.
Yes.
And you ask them what happened. You just said it. It's like it's all nebulous. But when you can lead them and say, listen, well, the real issue is Christ is being formed in us. The real issue is my way is not going to always happen. The real issue is what happened was bad, but there's also recovery.
The key word you said there is undefined versus unresolved. Most of our relationship breaks that we have in life are unresolved conflicts. But unresolved is always defined. Okay, there's a conflict and it's clear. But many, many, many times people leave churches, walk away from relationships because of undefined conflict. There's angst, there's air, there's something there and it's undefined, but it's there. You can't put your hands on it. But it's motivation for you to make a life-changing decision without definition. I mean, you didn't join the church that way. You didn't just say, well, I kind of feel, though it was clear. It got clearer and clearer. Mm. So the exit should be like the entrance. It should be, okay, it's clear. And it may very well be. I want to say that right now. I don't want to invalidate hurt. I don't want to say people shouldn't be hurt. Christ said himself, they will happen. Hurt will happen. But the thing is, like, I want to qualify that, like, yeah. Case in point, part of spiritual anger management is you're going to be, write this indignation. Spiritual anger is a decision of the spirit. It's a decision. I decide what I'm angry about, how long I'm going to be angry, and the results of that. I don't just run around with my temper out of control. Same thing with the other side of the emotion of being hurt. Like, okay, define it. I want to define, okay, I'm feeling a certain kind of way. Okay, that's an emotional response to some stimuli. The stimuli was an offensive, something adverse happened. Okay, like I cut myself shaving. That's hurt. Someone tapped my car. Okay, that's a hurt. Like, there's all kind of hurt on so many levels in my life. And I don't want to sit here and say that the church is the place where hurt, the crown of hurt. You get hurt at home. You get hurt on the job. Don't demonize the church as the place of hurt. But everywhere else in your life, there's no hurt. That's not, that's number one, it's unspiritual. Number two, it's not even true.
Yeah.
But that's the place where you don't get the pushback. That's why you want to demonize the church. This is the place where I got hurt. Okay, the Rotary Club. We can go to the Rotary Club and get hurt. You can go down to the Winn-Dixie, go down to the Giant, go down to the ShopRite. You can go right there and get hurt. And all of a sudden, now we need a focus group for Giant Hurt.
Ice cream's not on sale. Oh, I'm offended.
I'm hurt. And I don't want to make light of hurt. I don't want to make light of people's hurt.
I know.
And there's a lot of reasons why people get hurt. And offense. And these two words, I want you to keep these two words in your mind. Mm. Offense and hurt. What happened? Offense. Hurt. My response to it. Mm. And it's very, very valuable in my experience with God that there's no offense and I'm hurt. Or it's viable in my life with God that there is an offense and I'm hurt. But the two are not the same. Like, here's some causes for hurt and offense. One is gossip. People talk about you. Proverbs 16:28, a gossip separates close friends. A perverse person stirs up conflict. That could be a hurt. That could be an offense. Sometimes you could easily get hurt or offended by leadership. Maybe what's been said to you directly. There's a lot of ways that it's a cause. It could happen. Because at the end of the day, it's not an organization that's hurt me. It's individuals. It's circumstances.
Right.
It's circumstances that have happened or circumstances that I perceive has happened. Meaning they're not letting me. Well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe you're just saying that because that from your side of the conversation, it seems that way. Or you didn't get the result or the outcome you were looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of times, unreasonable expectations can cause hurt and offense. Unreasonable expectations in my service, in my Christian service, in my membership, in the church, unreasonable expectations. Rejection. Sometimes there's a sense someone has either rejected me or I have rejected my opportunity to be involved in the Church of God. I can be hurt by bad doctrine. I can be hurt by a lot of things. There's a whole list of reasons why I can be hurt. I can be offended in the church. That's why Christ said it in Matthew 8. He said, they will come. He didn't say, well, you know what? I don't know if it's going to happen, but what does Psalm 119:165 say? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Notice what happened here. Offenses come in Matthew 18, but in Psalm 119, my response. Yeah. What he's really saying is not that I don't get offended. What he's saying is that I don't get hurt.
Right. You know, I think about a boxer, Pastor Ronaldo, like, you know, they may take a few hits on the jaw, right?
Yeah.
But it's teaching them how to pivot. It's teaching them how to defend themselves. They're learning maybe the way their opponent is striking, that they can now anticipate the blows. And I think life or marriage or relationships can be like that. We learn how to pivot. We learn how to deflect in the sense of, okay, we may take a couple hits, but it's going to make us stronger. It's going to teach us, and I think going back to what you said, it's going to teach us to process the moment with God. Like, okay, what is God's mind about what I'm offended about? Is it, like you said, is it something that's valid, or is it something because of self-orientation or self-awareness or just plain self-pity? I think self-pity is a big one. Well, so, I mean, you have these words that we all can relate to, but the cross is something that keeps us objective. Because, like you said, life's gonna hit us, but we can be like that boxer. We can move, we can pivot, we can put on the mind of Christ, we can put on the helmet of salvation and the armor of God, and then those blows can actually make us stronger. They can actually also humble us too, right?
Well, let's go back to the word offense for a second. The word of God is taught from the pulpit. Doctrine is given. My flesh is gonna be offended at that.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh is offended at that. Ouch. Wow, that's serious. Okay, now, if I respond with God's mind, I won't be hurt, but I can be offended. Things don't work out the way I want to. I'm offended. I have to be careful not to get hurt. But then there's situations that happen where there is actual an offense, And it, and God allows me to be hurt by it. In both cases, I end up back to God. But what does it mean to be hurt? It means to be hurt. It means that there is a perception or a real injury that I've decided or allowed to happen. Okay, I'm hurt. Emotionally, psychologically, possibly physically, I'm hurt. But what I don't want to do is take the hurt that I experience in the church and separate it from the hurt I experience in life. But such as is common to man, right? The challenges that we have in life, 1 Peter 4:12, 1 Peter 1:6-7, 1 Corinthians 10:13, our life, part of our life is hurt. We get hurt because offenses come. We're frail human beings. The church is full of frail human beings. There are not people in the church that are not in the world. There are the people that are in the world that are in the church that are weak, that are broken, that make mistakes, that fail, and that happen. And in the cataclysmic reactions that we have with people, people get hurt.
Yeah.
It's not the plan. It's not the purpose, but it happens. So I think sometimes we hold the church to a place of perfection instead of participation. The church is not a place of believable perfection. There's nobody perfect in here but Jesus Christ. But it's a place that we participate at a high level of living through Jesus Christ. And when that happens, when that doesn't happen, offenses come, but we get hurt. We get hurt.
Yeah, friends, we just want to invite you to be part of the conversation. Give us a call, 800-338-7060, or email us at questions@gracehour.org or on Facebook. We see a couple of comments here. Join us. We want to hear from you. I think you just made an interesting conversation, interesting point. Like, as the church is held to a higher standard, and we understand that because we're the revelation of Christ on the earth, or the church is that revelation. But I think in the church, there can be unrealistic expectations, like somebody might say, oh, the pastor didn't greet me today, or that person looked at me wrong, or that person knows I'm a singer and didn't ask me to sing. Like, and there can be this real emotional thorniness that can happen where, like you said earlier, and I loved it about, someone might say, how did you say it? Like, someone might say, I'm not being fed. And then you said, well, maybe it's because they're not a good receiver. Like the meal,
yeah,
right? There's Thanksgiving meal,
yeah.
And they show up late, and then they say they're not hungry. But the meal was there, the provisions was there, but the receiver was not there to receive. And therefore, they missed out. And then they accused the brethren, just like the devil. They accused the brethren.
But it works this way. Proverbs 20, verse 6, many men will tell you how good they are. So when you listen to someone's argument, it's always the other person's wrong. The other person's hurt me. Mm. They hurt me. They attacked me. And then it gets down to the other verse where it talks about, in Romans chapter 3, it talks about, I think, 8. It says 2:15. They accuse to excuse. So
yes.
I'm going to indict the church so that I can deify myself. Basically. You know, that's what I'm gonna, because the church is the soft target. Because the church is a soft target because it doesn't defend itself. Number two, the church is a soft target because of the standard that it's held to.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other assembly of people on the face of the earth that's held to a higher standard than the church. So every misstep, every mistake, every mishandle is judged. Judge and jury, it is convicted, it is tried. Then with a broad brush, the entire church is wrong. The church has got to go. It's horrible.
Mm.
It's absolutely... We're just bad because you didn't get a chance to sing on Sunday morning. Maybe you were not spoken to in a good way. Maybe we didn't handle a situation right, and that's definitely possible. But again, it's a place of participation, not a place of perfection. So what does it mean to be hurt? Really, that's pretty subjective. Without God's mind, we all have our own standard of what it means to be hurt. There's some that might not hurt you that would hurt me. Based upon how I discern it, or what offends you may not offend me. And there's that key word. You don't get to hurt without offense.
Mm.
If it's real offense, then you've got to decide how you're going to respond. You could be hurt. If it's perceived offense, more often than not, when it's perceived offense, again, you've got to decide, but you tend to lean in and say, if I perceive I'm offended, I perceive I'm hurt.
Mm.
And that's the that's the huge reason why a lot of people leave churches. Not unresolved conflict, undefined conflict, and more specifically, perceived hurt. And it could be real hurt too, but just hurt. Hurt's the reason why people leave churches. But I want to say it again. The incubator for hurt in your life is not the church. Mm. Your life is full of hurt, full of pain. It's thorns and thistles. Genesis chapter 3, thorns and thistles. We don't walk through the church and suddenly shake off the thorns and thistles. That happens in here too. The close quarter drill, things happen. You get hurt. But I think we have an unreasonable expectation for perfection in the church.
Yeah.
And we tend to drink in the propaganda as a church, as a place of hurt instead of a place of honor. We got the wrong word, honor. But instead of thinking about all the great things that the church has done in my life, we think about the two times when somebody took my parking spot and someone didn't pay me back $5. It's now the place of hurt.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. We got to shake this off. Like when it is offense, it's like, okay, I can't take myself so seriously. I've got to keep Christ at the center. And these are decisions, I think. Wouldn't you say they're decisions?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You said earlier, like, we have to qualify the emotions because Satan is constantly suggesting there's that propaganda or that information that is causing us to miss the whole point instead of having it be a place of honor. Now it's a place of suspicion. There's also the flesh's expectations, which we're talking about, where again, and by the way, wouldn't you say, Pastor Ronaldo, like we offend people, we don't even realize it.
That's James 3:2. In everything you do, you're going to possibly offend someone. Mm. When you make every decision you make, someone's going to disagree with that. We don't live in a world to please people. Paul said in Galatians 1:10, am I persuaded of men or am I persuaded of God? Mm. And when you're persuaded of God, sometimes you don't persuade men. But to be hurt, I've got to be careful that I don't. Hurt seems like it's a place where I give myself permission to be emotional without God's mind.
Wow.
I just say, okay,
that's good.
This is going to happen. Okay, feel this way. And then the world trumpets like, you shouldn't feel this way. You don't have to. Whatever happened to having a bad day? Whatever happened to like, oh my God, things were rough. Okay. But it's amazing how we categorize it in Christianity. Well, I'm suffering for Christ. Well, you know, I suffered. I had this. I'm suffering. I'm suffering. Oh, well, you have permission to suffer. The world approves your permission to suffer. Even the religious hierarchy, we approve your suffering. But I'm hurt. Oh, no, you can't hurt. Mm. You can't hurt. You're not allowed to hurt. He's hurting. Leave Jack alone. He's hurting.
Yeah.
He's hurting. He's hurting. Oh, my God. So it becomes permission to live in my emotions without thinking with God. And that's a hard word because we want permission to live in our emotions. We want permission to be hurt. And sometimes we like being hurt because it gives us permission for no accountability in our thinking. Like, okay, yeah, I'm hurt.
Ooh, that's good.
I'm hurt. You know what? What's wrong? Well, I'm hurt. Okay, I'm leaving the church. Why? Because I'm hurt. Okay, what happened? And then it begins with he, she, or they did this thing. And it's possible that what you're saying is absolutely true. But I want to ask you this question. If you're called to the church, part of the call is called to hurt.
Mm.
Because God's putting you in a group of people where you could be hurt, right? You could be hurt. You're called to a group that you could be hurt. Someone might even ask, okay, Pastor Ronaldo, is there a good reason to leave a church? There's a good reason to make decisions with God. I don't want to use the word good reason. I want to say, is there a spiritual reason to leave a church?
There are
spiritual reasons to leave a church, but there are no good reasons to leave a church. There are spiritual reasons. And the first one is obviously the Holy Spirit. I have to be Spirit-led. Obviously, poor doctrine's another one. And there's a few reasons why, you gotta have a heart-to-heart with God and make a decision. But that's not the push of the program, is to tell you when you should leave a church. But this week, and this is a great week, tune in this entire week. How do you stay in a church when you've been hurt in the church? How do you stay? I would expand that question and ask this question. How do you stay in a marriage when you've been hurt in the marriage? How do you stay on the job when you've been hurt in the job? Let's not make the church this place that's more difficult to stay into than your house or your family or your marriage or your job. Let's not lower the honor of the church and put it on the same level as other places.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in those places, but I don't want to sit there and say, well, you know what? Because I'm hurt, I've got permission to leave the church. But because I'm hurt, I don't have permission to leave the house or leave the job. You've been hurt on your job, and how many of you are still there?
Yeah.
If you work a job longer than 12 months, you're going to get hurt on the job. And then the question is, oh, I got hurt at Western House. I got hurt at the job at BG&E. I'm quitting. No, you stay. Why do you stay at the job that hurt you, but you won't stay at the church where you got hurt?
It's a good point.
Why would you do? Is the church lower than BG&E? Is the church lower than Giant? No. My boss just cussed me out at work. I'll be at work tomorrow. I'll be at work tomorrow. Why? Because I need the job. Low key. I need the job more than I need the church. Low key. Offenses will come. So how do I stay in church? The same way I stay in all the other things in my life. I walk by faith and hear from God, and I don't evaluate my relationship with the church based on offenses and things that happen to me.
Amazing. It's amazing. We have to be like that boxer. We have to slide and pivot. We have to duck. We have to move. We have to really have that mind of Christ, because the devil is trying to push us out of that place of growth.
Sure.
Push us out from that place of accountability. Push us out from that place of conforming to the image of Christ.
Sometimes you get hit.
Yeah.
In other words, maybe I'm pivoting. I didn't pivot.
Do we have a glass jaw? I know you don't. But
I tell you what, there was that game, Mike Tyson punched out a glass jaw Joe. Guy with a complete.
That guy was incredible.
He had a
fighter.
See-through jaw. Goodness. And I said to myself, he looks like me in the Church of God. He's just getting lit up. Ding, ding, ding. I don't mean, again, I'm not making light.
No.
There is real hurt in people's lives. But I don't want to differentiate hurt that happens to the believer in the church from hurt that happens on their job,
Amen.
The hurt that happens in their family, that hurt that happens in their world. It's amazing. Thieves broke into. I was talking to someone today. Someone, a friend of mine, he was away from home. His wife was home alone. Four men broke into their house, removed the window from the wall.
Wow.
Crowbarred it off. 2 o'clock in the morning, he was away digging in another part of the country. She was there, broke in the house, fought her, punched her, 2 black eyes, beat her up, rough, stole some things. She was hurt, legitimately hurt. And we talked about it, we prayed, but I thought about that in light of this program. She's hurt, right? But that hurt that happened wouldn't be a reason why she'd move out of that house, because she owns that house. She lives there. That happened where she was staying, where she was operating at, but she decided, she's still there today. They fixed the window. She's still living in the house.
Mm.
Offenses will come. But, yeah, people that are in the church, and someone doesn't speak to them, or they don't get the parking spot, or they don't get a chance to sing on Sunday morning, and they want to move, they would leave the church immediately.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about that particular analogy, you think that people can have a memory from that, and they carry it. And then they begin to put it on other situations. And that's where that perception comes in. We're now,
mm-hmm.
now it's a compound perception where
sure.
just like in if someone marries, you know, there's a divorce and a remarriage. They're bringing the baggage from their first marriage into the second marriage unconsciously. And that's the same thing that can happen when we're hurt. If we don't surrender that to the Lord, it will happen. We'll bring that memory, that hurt into another relationship or into another faith step. And maybe we won't take that faith step
because mm-hmm.
we've been hurt. We've been like Proverbs 18:19, great verse. A wounded man is like a fortified city. It's very difficult to reach him. But in Christ, in mercy, in grace, through prayer, through, and I think, Pastor Ronaldo, our approach is critical.
Yeah.
Our approach is critical. So with that person that went through that traumatizing event you just described, how can they process that? Well, I'm sure their husband comes home and there's fortification to the house and all these things that make sure it doesn't happen again. But there's that memory is brought to the right place, and there's that pain is put in the right place.
Well, that's the response. The response is key. And that's what separates offense from hurt. Now, you may have a legitimate offense, something like she had an offense and she's been physically hurt. Now, how she responds to the offense basically is how she gets hurt. How she responds to the hurt will decide whether she stacks the hurt. When you stack the hurt and you don't deal with the hurt, it becomes a wound.
Yes.
And when it becomes a wound, bitterness follows. Hebrews 12:15, you defile many. It starts to build. And maybe it starts out with murmuring in the heart, then in the mind, then in the mouth. And it just goes all the way out. And all of a sudden, it's like small talking. It gets to your brain. You start organizing it in an organized fashion. You take other things that have happened. You build a case. And suddenly you start speaking this case to people. And before you know it, you're full on conspiratorial. You're full on attacking the church because of what's happened to you. And you've married real offense with perceived offense. Like maybe some things you're talking about actually happened. But because they actually happen, it gives you license for everything you see, and you say everything that you see, the way you see it, is a hurt. So out of the 16 things you say that have hurt, right, maybe 4 are valid. But I'll say again, you got to ask the honest question. Say, okay, I'm hurt. I want to leave the church. Okay. Are you called to the church? Are you called to church? Yes. Okay. You're leaving the church because you're hurt. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Let's define what happened. What specifically happened? What was the offense? And most often than not, it's not something that was done to them, but it was something that was not given them.
Yeah.
It's more of an unmet expectation, more than an actual activity towards me. I didn't receive something. Or this is the one you hear a lot of times. I'm hurt because I'm not being fed. Well, that puts the onus on you that you're a perfect receiver. That you're always spirit-filled, and you're always listening. And even though you're always prepared, we're not. Even though you're always spirit-filled, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you say everything right, we don't. So that's accusing and excusing. Perhaps, maybe, some of the times you think you're not receiving, it's not the speaker. Maybe it's you're not spirit-filled. Maybe you're not. Your house is spiritually not in order. But again, many men will tell you how good they are. It's always the other guy. But I do want to say this about church hurt. That's a funny little word there, and I don't want to honor that. Wow, that word doesn't. By the way,
things are flying in the studio here.
That word didn't come from the church. That shouldn't be part of our vocabulary.
Hmm.
And Greater Grace doesn't endorse that word, and we don't endorse that word.
Well, it's what you said. It's the revising or the redefining of terms. It goes back to this principle of having undefined or unresolved. And again, I think with humility and coming to God and processing our hurt with God, maybe it was an unusual circumstance.
Yeah.
Maybe it was something that was unfair. I think, again, fairness is one of those atmospheres of subjectivity. You know, I want to just quickly, we've had some great chats here. Thanks, friends, for contributing. Again, we got a few more minutes left of the broadcast, 1-800-338-7060. Also, you can find us on gracehour.org live, YouTube, and Facebook. And many comments here. We see some great verses quoted, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with the attitude of humility, being neither arrogant or self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourselves. You know, Madeline Johnson, again, talking about putting on the mind of Christ daily, every moment. I think this is so important, moment by moment, or otherwise we will be offended all day long. We'll even fabricate a reason for that. Again, looking to Christ is our way out. Psalm 146:3, do not trust in princes or mortal man in whom there is no help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 121:2. Elizabeth shares, praying for you, Hannah. Hannah's joining us today from the hospital, and we're lifting her up in prayer. Hane, we love you and are praying for God's help and touch on your physical body. And again, agreeing in faith. But we're seeing these great points today, surrendering all, even our hurts. Because you said this great word, stacking hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's kind of a big thing. Isaiah 30 verse 1 says we can add sin to sin, but
yes.
I think we can add false burden to false burden. So let's say someone's been divorced, or let's say someone's been abused, or let's say someone has been just wrongly treated. So they come into the church, or they come into your space as a spirit-filled believer. Galatians 6:1, we're handling them with love and meekness and care and grace and great, great care. But if they're already hurt, if they're already damaged, like a damaged good, then it's like, wow, then God wants to love that person to a place of healing, love that person into a place of freedom. But damaged goods can still receive the love of God, right? That's one of our founding pastor's booklets that we so much appreciate.
Well, I think we need to understand that everybody's broken.
Yeah.
I think
absolutely
everyone's been hurt. So it's not like I'm hurt and you're not, but all of us are hurt. But what we do, and we'll get into that a little bit, tomorrow's program, the hurts that we have are not ours. They're God's. As long as you retain ownership of your hurt, what happened to you doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And if I retain ownership with it, I begin to stack them. I begin to store them. And it might be a long-term situation. It might be okay. And by the way, what's amazing about it, when it gets long-term, we call it suffering. All of a sudden now the vocabulary changes. Oh, we're suffering now. We're suffering. Well, actually, once it's into suffering, it's allowable.
Mm.
You know, it's allowable. But we love to brag. That didn't hurt. And actually, a lot of stuff hurts. But the key is I need God's mind for how I deal with my hurt. The offense comes. I get hurt. How do I deal with that? And that's a great segue for tomorrow's program, because tomorrow's program, we answer the question, what do I do when I'm hurt? Because all of us get hurt. Offenses come and I get hurt. What do I do with that? And I don't want to sit there and just say, well, you know what, just read the Bible and that's enough. Sometimes it is, but being specific, being spiritual, being compassionate, considering that, we'll get into that tomorrow.
Yeah.
What to do when I'm hurt, because you're going to get hurt. And what to do when I'm hurt, it's not just in the church, it's my entire life.
Yes.
Once again, the life we now live, Galatians 2:20, we live that life everywhere. So it's not like the rules in church for a Christian and how they manage hurt are different than the rules outside of the building. Beyond the brick and mortar, there's my life before God. So we don't want to attack the institution of the church as the place where hurt shouldn't happen. You can get hurt going to the hospital. I remember one of our pastors, his wife went in for a simple surgery, and then they kept her for another week because she picked up two infections in the hospital. Now,
yeah.
Who would think that the cleanest place on earth, the hospital, where they bleach the walls every day, you can get infections? She picked up two and stayed an extra week. The doctor was very nonchalant and said, yeah, we got a lot of germs around here. So it's like, whoa, oh, okay, all right. So if you can get infections in a hospital, why wouldn't you have the potential to get hurt in a church like you would in Giant, like you would in Home Depot?
Yeah.
But
I mean, can you see Christ on the cross? He was broken, right? And
yeah.
He was there scourged, whipped, unrecognizable, as it says in Isaiah 53.
Mm-hmm.
And love held him to that cross.
Mm-hmm.
The commitment to redemption and to the Father's plan held him to that cross. So we just have a few minutes left of the broadcast, and we're going to take Pastor Tim Silvius. Great to have you, sir, online here. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Pastor Tim. Go ahead. Great to have you on the Grace Hour today, sir.
Thank you very much. I love the program today. Awesome topic. And I just could think about how in Galatians, Paul was having such a problem with people being offended about circumcision and not circumcision. And then you just mentioned Galatians 2:20. And I think that is like the key. Am I crucified to myself? Am I willing to transfer my rights over to the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ has paid for every single offense?
Hmm.
Yep. Good word.
That's it.
That's what I had today. God bless you guys.
Thanks, Pastor.
We are praying for you, Pastor Tim, and we're believing God for a life infusion for your health. Great comment today. We're going to go to our next caller, Rick, here. Rick, thanks so much for joining us. Go ahead. You're live.
Oh, well, good morning, pastors. I haven't spoken with either of you in a bit, but I hope you're blessed.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, right. From Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Good day to you, sir.
So I wasn't able to catch up with you guys in the San Diego trip. I trust that you guys went down there again.
Actually, next week.
Next week. All right. Well, I hope that goes well, and, you know, much fruit to be bear out of that. So, but I was loving the topic today. You know, I think everybody in one way or another has experienced a church hurt, even though we don't, you know, own that. But it does happen. And, you know, I think as, you know, people become more mature believers, you know, it's all about, how, like you were saying, how you roll with the punches. So, you know, I've seen it happen with other people. I've experienced it myself. And, you know, of course, I don't want to get any particulars or anything, you know, I don't want to, you know, deal with anything that, you know, might be touchy for others. But, you know, just, you know, we're one big church, you know, in the body of Christ, you know, right? You know, so if there's a situation, and sometimes it can be complicated, where, you know, maybe the relationship is such that, you know, sometimes people feel like they're just not welcome there anymore, you know? And if the, you know, spirit isn't filling the room the way it once did, and, you know, they're like showing you the door, you know, I mean, some people I could see where they just wander away and say, well, maybe church isn't for me. But, you know, I think sometimes people are like, well, no, I still need fellowship with, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. So, you know, they find a way to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Rick, I think the big issue with that is that I've got to be careful that I don't let people chase me from the call to assembly. That I take something divine and I make it personal. Because what happens, Rick, a lot of times is that we boil down our relationship with the church to relationship with specific people. And also, too, I think sometimes, too, I think we have to also guard our heart that we're not seeing it completely the way it is. I don't want to say there's not a spiritual reason to leave a church because the Holy Spirit can lead you. But I do want to say this, Rick, my experience has been oftentimes a lot of folks have left for reasons that are maybe not so clear to them, even as they leave. And the worst thing you want to do is leave in confusion. You follow me? You can leave two ways. You can leave like Shimei, or you can leave like David. When Shimei left David, he was throwing stones and cursing. When David left Saul, he was quiet and he honored the man of God.
I agree. And, you know, for me, I always want peace in the house.
Sure.
So, you know, rather than let any personal, you know, like somebody might be looking at me in the flesh and not in the spirit.
Sure.
I don't want that to create waves for other people. And so for me personally, you know, I totally agree. You know, I don't want confusion. I don't want to create confusion. You know, I love the, you know, the body life. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. So that'd be the last thing. So, you know, and I pray, you know, we have to forgive, you know, that we want to be forgiven. So we have to forgive. And we just pray that, you know, in time that, perhaps, whatever changes need to happen, you know, I'm not just speaking for myself, you know,
sure.
Many people that, you know, but, you know, we know that, the enemy is going to come against, you know, us. We've been told this. So, you know, but, you know, when we, I mean, if nothing else, if for the time being you can't be with the faith family that you're used to in this body life that we talk about, at least, wouldn't you agree that it's good to have fellowship with fellow believers wherever you can find it, as long as they're teaching Bible truth?
I would say, I would be careful of that, Rick. I would say, yeah, you're right about that, but I would be careful, because what tends to happen is you develop a culture of fellowship with no spiritual home. You become a coffee house Christian that kind of meets Christians online, meets Christians in the street and other places, but there's no church, there's no official body of Christ in your life, there's no pastor pastoring you. You're kind of wandering around a little bit, and it's a dangerous place because you begin to self-teach, do-it-yourself Christianity, because you've been hurt. you start rebuilding the God's model for the church. There's no more. There's no more assembly. There's no more pastor. It's just me hanging out with a few guys that I happen to get along with, hopefully in the spirit and sometimes in the flesh. And we speak about light issues that we don't get too serious, and then we don't get challenged and grow with God. That's a tough thing. That's a tough thing, Rick. It really is, because I know believers like the ones you're talking about, and it's a huge movement in our country right now that's anti-assembly and anti-pastor. It's basically, I just hang out in my house. I got a good few good friends. We become like the Christian Rotary Club. We just kind of hang out and go do good things together. But there's no body of Christ. I mean, there's a universal church, but I'm called to a local assembly. God, he gave me a pastor, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave me. He didn't say, well, you just kind of hang with each other, speak to each other in the spirit, and you'll kind of figure it out. There's no covering in that. I agree with you, Rick, temporarily. I lose my way. I wander in Jeremiah 14:10. I even get confused a little bit about things that are happening. I don't feel welcome or wanted. Those things happen. But there is a way. There's got to be a way to have a conversation. There's got to be a way. But I don't think God has called us to be orphans. He's called us to a house.
Yeah, you know, I just want to also weigh in here, Rick. Also very good to hear from you. I just think, too, that, you know, if we leave a church, you know, I see this pattern happening a lot in Christendom, is that people leave God. They say, you know what, the church has offended or hurt me or whatever we could say. But really, the issue is, why do I assemble? I'm there to hear the word. I'm not there for personal reasons or social reasons or even events, which are all awesome, but they complement the main thing, which is, am I hearing the Bible? Am I growing in my faith? Am I being challenged? Am I being accountable? And these are things only the Spirit can minister to you. But just as a broad statement here, I love what you just said. We are in a coffee house, a Google Christianity, like a YouTube Christianity. We need the body of Christ. Now, I will be the first to say, right, Pastor Ronaldo, we want everyone to come to our church, but not everyone's called to our church. So we just said, go find a body of believers that are grace-oriented, truth foundational, and that's spiritual.
That's the key, Rick. You got the fellowship, but at some point, if you're being Spirit-led, the Holy Spirit will always lead you to a local assembly. You follow me?
Oh, yeah. That's very important. Everything you say is valid, and I probably should have prefaced my statement by saying that I'm talking about a church, you know. So, I mean, as far as all of that.
Okay, beautiful.
The thing is, I really do cherish and I feel fortunate because of the strong bonds that I've had with you, with everybody, with Greater Grace. Like I said, I know things sometimes can be complicated in personal relationships and this, that, and the other. But for me, you know, I just, what's paramount is, that there's peace in the house. And, others don't get affected by the goings-on of whatever happens on personal relationships, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, I think there's turbulence in the plane, but the Holy Spirit balances it out.
Mm.
You know, we have a walk with God. Hebrews chapter 11, God will shake the things that can be shaken, that what remains is of him. So there's going to be some shaking once in a while. And in a good relationship, a godly relationship, there's good that it can take the turbulence. It's kind of built for the turbulence a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor Jala once said it this way, you know, spiritual relationships are low maintenance relationships. They don't have to have all this natural stimuli. Are you feeling good? Am I feeling good? How is your dog? How is my dog? It can be a little bit. It can be a little bit not so petty huggy all the time. But you know you know God's heart towards you. You know God's heart. But anyway, great thoughts, Rick. Great talking to you, buddy.
Thank you, and I'll be praying for your outreach in San Diego next week.
I'll actually be there with you on Monday. I'm in Las Vegas Monday.
Awesome. Well, we'll pray for traveling mercies for y'all. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today. We had some really great comments here. We do have one more caller. We're going to squeeze them in, right, Cody? Joe, thanks so much for joining us. Go ahead. You are live with us today. Go ahead, Joe. Are you still there?
Yes. How you doing, Pastor Jason?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good to have you, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, I just have one more comment, and it just brought to my heart today that you were commenting about, you know, the comment and being welcome and everything. And I just wanted to share this Ephesians 6:13. It was, and I just want to share it with you. It was on my heart today. And therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to withstand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And it's like understood when people comment you about you're a Christian and stuff, that you can be pleasant with them. You don't have to react like, yeah, you have a problem with that or something. You just give them grace, and giving them grace and patience and wisdom, they understand that, and they can see in you your reaction to give them, and they understand that you can give them Christ the way you react to them, and you can share it to them and bring them to Christ, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing. Mm. You don't have to react to situations.
Amen. Good stuff, Joe. Yeah, thank you so much.
Responding to God, not reacting to people. Friends, thanks so much for joining us today. We're going to have an awesome week. Tune in tomorrow. The title will be What to Do When You're Hurt. So, again, feel free to join us the same time tomorrow. And thanks again for all your comments and your contributions. God bless you.